kinds of folks need to come. All kinds of folks. All kinds of folks. Psalm 126, a very familiar portion of Scripture. It's just interesting the way the Lord worked all this out. I appreciate Brother Jimmy's testimony, and Brother Jim, he's right. Listen, the service will be broadcast on Christ Life Ministries Facebook page. Definitely check it out and follow along. But wow, next year plan on going. Psalm 126, Psalm of Degrees. It says, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them, the dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. That they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Let's pray. Father, tonight we thank you, Father, for all the promises we have in the Bible. And Father, we ask your forgiveness for the times we doubt, but we know, Father, that you always, always answer our prayers as well as your promises are sure. And tonight, Father, someone is having a bad night or the fire and the ambulance wouldn't be out. Bless those folks as they're responding to the need of our neighbors. God, tonight as we look to your word, whether the folks are here or online, I pray, God, that you would stir our hearts with the truth of your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We serve a limitless God. I've been talking about it now for several weeks. I got another message on Sunday that's going to cap off the entire series of Limitless. But we serve a limitless God. We forget he is the same God of Peter, the same God who struck Paul blind, the same God who split the Red Sea. He's the same God who gave manna and quail. He is the same God that slew 185,000 Assyrians at the gate of Jerusalem. He is the same God that John the Baptist preached. He's the same God that Titus. You know, Titus, I refer to Titus as the hammer. Paul sent Timothy down to Corinth, to that wicked city, and he came back with his tail between his legs. So God sent 1 Corinthians back with Titus. He hand carried 1 Corinthians down there, and Titus the hammer straightened things out. And then God sent him down to Crete to a bunch of pirates and drunkards on the island of Crete who got saved during Pentecost. And boy, Titus went through Crete and set up churches and ordained elders. And it's the same God. We think somehow that with all of our comforts and all of our knowledge, you know, God is somehow not the same or doesn't operate the same. Oh, he's the same God. He's the same God. The problem is not on his end. The limitless God is never limited. He's eternal. He's holy. He's infinite. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. It is us in our finiteness that we look in the mirror and we forget we serve a limitless God. So when John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease, what he's talking about is increasing in our view. See, we think too highly of ourselves. And we think that it's got to be us that's got to manage everything. It's got to be us that's got to handle everything. No, it's God. It's God who's going to do it. We might as well let him and do as he please. Now, I put my order in all the time. I don't know about you. I ask. Right? I ask. But he is the limitless God. And so I say to you tonight, listen, the problem is not on his side of the equation. It is on our side of the equation. So we look at our finiteness and think it's got to be us who makes things work out. No, it is the limitless God who does it. He must increase in our view. He must become stronger than us. He must, in our view. Our love for him. Look, when you realize how much God loves you first, it's not hard to love him back. But when our love for him starts to equal or rival our love for ourselves, now the war's on. Now the fight happens. So when John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease, you've got to understand, me loving him in return for all the love I've been given is just me turning around and realizing it and loving him back. But that love's got to increase beyond my love for myself. God needs to increase. I need to decrease. Known as the Psalm of Conversion and the Psalm of Revival, it's about the return from captivity. So many, we know lost folks live in the bondage of sin. But even though you and I who have been born again and have been broken away from that bondage of sin, we sometimes crawl back in to our own old shackles from before. Our old ways of thinking, our old value systems, our old way of doing things, our old way of compensating for the messed up world you and I live in, we're like institutionalized. We're all we know. And we need to break free because God has already redeemed our soul at salvation. In this psalm, you'll see a proclamation, a praise, a prayer, and a promise. Let's get into it tonight. Look at verse number 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. This is speaking specifically of the bondage in Babylon. Jeremiah chapter number 29. Let me get there real quick. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 19, the Bible reads, because they have not hearkened to my words, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, but ye would not hear, saith the Lord. Now, I understand that you and I will extrapolate from that and say, you know, well, that's how lost folks are. You know, they just deny God. They hear the Christian radio and call us fools. They see our bumper sticker with our crown on it and think, what a waste of time. Oh, crazy Christians. What about Christians who don't respond to God's word? Hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity. You realize God saved you to free you from the power of sin. You not just the penalty, but the power of sin. Sin shall not reign over you, the Bible says. He said, hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity, whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, of Ahab, the son of Kaliah, and Zedekiah, the son of Maaseh, which prophesy a lie unto you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he shall slay them before your eyes. If you think I'm kidding, you watch. You watch. See, they were enslaved in Babylon. But then God released them, just like he said he would. He said it would be 70 years. And Cyrus, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28, it's Isaiah 45 and verse 28, that it was Cyrus who'd let them go. 150 years before it happened, Isaiah said, it'll be Cyrus who lets you go. And they did. And it says, we were like them that dream. Unbelievable. When a miracle happens in your life, when a miracle happens, and I've seen them, I've experienced them, I've been at the bedside and saw them come back. I have been in the waiting room and see the doctors come out astonished. I have been there. I have seen it. And it's like, it's so euphoric when God does a miracle. God did a miracle this week in Brother Jordan's life. God's going to do a miracle in you this week if you'll let him. God will do a miracle. Question is, are you asking for it? See, they were like them that dreamed. They just like, you're crazy. A week before Cyrus got on the throne and said, I'm letting you Jews go home, this lost, wicked Persian king got on the throne. And what did he say? You know, the God of heaven said to me. And, you know, that'd be like Bill Maher getting on his newsfeed and go, well, the God of the Hebrews have spoken to me, right? Right? I mean, seriously, like Carl Pagan, Carl Sagan, if he'd have got up and went, right? There is no way. Yep, God did it though. And all the Jews who were seeking after God, by the way, not all the Jews were. Out of the millions of Jews in captivity, only about 30,000 or so went back.
I have to admit, there's a lot of Christians who call themselves Christians who've never seen a miracle. They've never seen God do something in their life. And that's tragic because I think God wants to prove himself. He wants to. He said, I'll pour water on them that are thirsty. Like when a miracle happens, these people were unbelievably joyful because God broke the bonds. Like out of nowhere, here comes this Persian emperor and goes, the God of heaven has told me to send you home and build me a house for my name. Just imagine the euphoria. Well, whoever imagined? Well, God imagined. God actually told him in advance, I'll do this. He actually was that detailed in the book of Isaiah where he said, Cyrus will tell you to go rebuild the walls and the street. Yes. Now look at verse 2. We see the praise. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. Our tongue was singing. The joy of God's people over the clear working of God was so evident. They just broke out into singing. And listen, I know when I got saved, I didn't have much use for Christian music. But boy, once I got saved and understood what it meant to be saved, all of a sudden I cared about the old hymns and the praises. And 1 Peter 3:15 says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man. And that's where you freak out. What if they ask me a question I don't know? That's not what God said. God said, give them an answer when they ask you of the hope that is in you. When they see your rejoicing, when they see your praise, when they see your joy, when they see your the way you handle things in life with, you know, even though there's uncertainty and sickness and death and things of that nature, you and I, we stand unmovable. Why? Because our God is in control. My God split the Red Sea. Bigger than that, my God spoke the world into existence. You realize from God's point of view, our problems are small. Problem is we get a little too close to the problem and we think to ourselves, I don't know how I'm going to get around this, over it or under it or above it. No, just back up to God's point of view going, well, that's nothing. Lord, take care of that, would you? Huh? Do you see the lost people see our demeanor, our praise, and they want to know because they don't have it. The Christian's victory is made manifest. Look what it says here in verse 2. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Persians and the leftover Babylonians were going, wow. Those Jews who I thought, look, they are the only conquered people in human history that never lost their national identity. Think about it. The Medes lost it. The Persians, I mean, they all did. None of them have maintained their national identity like the Jews. That's one of the miracles, one of the extra biblical reasons why we believe the Bible. But even the lost world took note and went, wow, wow. Romans 2:4 says, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. That's why I pray for people. I pray for people to get saved. I pray for people to be blessed of God. Now, I know we heard a message, and if I ever preach it, it's pure coincidence about how our prayers get hazy, right? And we say, well, God bless them. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, I pray that God, it will be good to them to the point where they recognize it's Him, where other people recognize it's Him. When I pray, I say, Lord, you realize if you were to work a miracle, I believe there are some doctors and nurses that take note. Lord, if you'd move in such a powerful way, I believe there's some executives that would take note. I believe there's some folks who are hardened in their heart and lost. And God, if you do a miracle in this person's life, I believe folks would take notice and you could be glorified. And it's a clear testimony of these redeemed Jews that God was working in their life. And that really needs to be our testimony today. God is at work. God is at work. Well, what if it doesn't go the way I want it to go? How is it you know what's best? You know, the world travels around the sun at, 66,000 miles? Where's my astronomer in the back? And you want to drive. You know what I'm saying? 66,000 miles. A little too close, we burn up. A little too far away, we freeze. And we're going to vote you to be the leader. I don't think so. Let God drive.
Our testimony ought to be such that the lost world goes, I don't understand. Well, let me tell you, I'd be happy to explain it to you. They see the Spirit of God moving on His people. They're not here tonight, so I'm going to brag on them. There's a family that we're discipling, and their parents, the parents of the wife, have been praying forever, praying for a long time. And then one day they decided they'd cross an ocean and go visit the family. The husband's like, I don't feel like going. And 2 days before, he's like, I don't know, I think I'll go. 3 days later, they're sitting in their living room. They hear a gospel message on the radio. And then they watch TV, a church. A few days later, they go to that church and they both get saved. Amen. They come back here from the other side of the world and says, you need to disciple us because we just got saved. Let me tell you something. God is bigger than you think He is. And prayer reaches farther than you think it does, because prayer's as big as God is. Prayer's as powerful as God is. And what is it that's limiting your prayer right now? Is you looking in your mirror at yourself going, there ain't no way. That's why your prayers don't get answered. Because you think that it's up to you. The greatest testimony, my friends, to lost people is a change in you and I. Don't be praying that you pray for those lost folks to get saved, but don't be selfish. Don't be crazy like God saved them so I don't have to put up with their garbage all day. That's a wrong prayer. But God, would you, if you'd humble yourself and pray and seek God's face and say, God, save them or they'll spend eternity in hell. God, how horrible, would you please save them? You know, God could do a miracle if it wasn't a selfish prayer. Look at verse 3, the Lord hath done great things for us. You know, it's crazy. They're in this euphoria, and the lost world is going, wow, didn't see that coming. And then they start to sing praise, and they hear the lost world going, wow, God has done great things for your God has done it. Your God's done great things. And then all of a sudden they're like, well, yeah, we better praise God too. We better say something. When's the last time you got up and praised the Lord? When's the last time you said, God, thank you. Look what you've done for me today. Look, praying and praise unlocks the power of God in your life. You realize when Solomon built that gorgeous temple, that beautiful edifice to the glory of God, and they had all the different sacrifices ready and all the different people ready to get started, And Solomon prayed, but it wasn't until the singer sang and the praise lifted up that the glory of the temple, the glory of God filled the temple and ran everybody out. It wasn't until the praise went up. Psalm 107, verse 1, give thanks unto the Lord for He is good. You know, I admit you got to walk with God a little while to be able to say that with and affirm it. You know, you read it. But after I've been walking with the Lord for 30 years, I go, yeah, my God is good. My God is good. You know, you hear it all the time. God is good. And all the time, God is good all the time. And all the time, God's good. And it becomes almost a cliche until you walk out of the other end of the valley of the shadow of death and go, God is good. God is good. For He is good. His mercy endureth forever. Why? Why did we not get what we rightfully deserve? Because His mercy endured forever. I have often said it, and I'll say it again. If you were God, would you have saved you? No. No, I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have saved me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's why we say amen. It's why we shout hallelujah. It's why we shout praise the Lord. Why? Because we who have experienced it are the ones who have firsthand knowledge of what real praise is, because we know the God who is praiseworthy. Now, our praise unlocks the power of God. Our praise also points other people to God. The psalmist sang forth this great, that God had done great things. Psalm 69 and verse 30, I'll praise the name of God with a song. I'll magnify Him with thanksgiving. Listen, are you listening to Christian music at your house? Get your phone out and look up a hymn before you eat. Have a word of prayer and sing a song. Teach your kids and your grandkids the Christian music. I can't tell you how awesome it is. We were, Miss Mix and I were talking about this in Sunday school and just in our own prayer time and looking back over our life. And one of the things that set a positive tone in our life, and my boys will be here in a little while. You get to see them again. Levi will be coming and to visit. And just ask them. And they said to us, there was always music playing, Christian music. And you know those goofy kids like Southern gospel because their old man does too. It's just kind of funny, right? Yeah, they know good music when they hear it. All right? Psalm 100 and verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You know, when you remember the model prayer, when they said, Master, teach us to pray, he said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Before we ever get to our daily bread or to forgive us of our trespasses, it was his name, his kingdom, and his will. That's a powerful thought. I will sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise upon the harp unto our God, Psalm 147 and verse 7. A Christian's praise should be apparent in a Christian's life. Look at verse 4, Psalm 126 and verse 4. He says, turn our captivity. The prayer to complete the return from captivity is also the same prayer that we use from spiritual bondage. There are things that you and I bring into our Christian life that we picked up as children or teenagers, right? And we drag that garbage with us. And some of us has got more luggage than American Tourister. You really do. And you need to let that go. You'll get that later, American Tourister, main luggage. Yeah. You need to let it go. You stop dragging that stuff. It don't belong in the Christian life. It doesn't belong. God has no use for it. God didn't ask you to bring it with you. The Bible says in Galatians 5:16, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It's just that simple. And I can tell you when I'm in the flesh, I'm not walking in the Spirit. And when I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm much more able to withstand the temptation of the flesh. You know, our praise should draw people to us. People should be able to see it and experience. You don't have to go around bellowing it from the housetops. It's in how you live and how you know what kind of attitude you carry. You know, very few Christians evangelize. I'm not going to take a poll of hands, but how many people have you led to the Lord in your life? As a follower of Jesus Christ, that is our function. You say, well, that's the church's job. Corporately, yes. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, it is our primary function, besides giving God praise and letting him glorify himself, it's to obey and win others to the Lord. I got quiet, Jim. It got quiet. That's our function. That is your operating, whatever you call it in the military. That's what we, mode of operation, that's what we do. It's our MOS. That's what we do. What do you do as a Christian? We win, folks. We tell people about Christianity. I had a family in our church this week. No joke. Their kids were rejected entrance into a quote-unquote Christian school because of the version of the Bible we use. Yeah. You think I'm lying? I'll tell you who it is after. You go talk to them. And you think to yourself, that is insane. I think it's because Baptists are known for evangelizing. So, yeah, that's another problem. Are you known for evangelizing? Have people heard your gospel story? You have a unique gospel story. Your story's like no one else's. And you think to yourself, well, mine's kind of boring. You know, I met this one. I met the guy who started the Hell's Angels, and he got saved. And he had this huge thing. His name was Jim Delaschmidt. And he had this, maybe it was just a chapter of the Hell's Angel. I don't know, but he was the Hell's Angel. The pictures were there, and he got saved. He had a big, long beard that he could braid, and he went to church high as kite and got saved. And this is back in the early 70s, and it was like he had this massive testimony. He went around telling everybody people got saved, and you think to yourself, well, my testimony's not like that. My testimony's boring. I was 4. Doesn't matter. It's a hallelujah gospel story. Let me tell you something. The angels rejoiced the day you got saved because the Father rejoiced. The Father was rejoicing the day you got saved. Well, you know, I got saved at 5, and I really didn't do anything wrong. I was just a 5-year-old. So my story, your story, is a hallelujah story that made heaven shout. Amen. You need to tell other people and watch what God does with it. You say, well, it's just a simple little story. That's all it took. You know, the thief on the cross didn't have a big sermon to the other guy, right? It was, we deserve, hey, you shut up, we deserve this, and Lord, remember me, and boom! That's it. Imagine what he said for the rest, what he's saying for the rest of eternity. Man, you talk about a last minute save. Yeah. Right? Right on the deathbed. Why are churches cold? Why are hearts cold? Why are prayers hollow? Why are services without praise? Because we forget what our function is. We serve the God who's limitless, who has made our lives a one big miracle after another. And the question is, are we going to live with our... Oh, let me tell you, I'm just going to tell you. My mom and dad are in heaven so I can tell on them. My dad was an eternal optimist, drove my mother crazy. He was a glass half full kind of guy, everything. Don't worry about it. He'd call her Peen. Peen, everything will be fine. God will take care of it. God will take care of it. That's what he'd say. And she'd be like, that's where I get that from. Mama was a half glass half Well, all the way empty, down to the nub. That's how my mother was. Bless her heart. Bless. She's all straightened out. Now she's in heaven. But do you understand that my mother walked on the ground with her nose in the ground, but my daddy walked in the sky? Look, the sky begins where the ground ends. You decide where your vision is. You decide what you're going to look at. My mama walked with her nose on the ground. Daddy walked in the sky. He wasn't a very tall man. He was about this big. He'd take me, though. Any day of the week, he could take me. But he walked in the sky. He was an optimist. Why? Because his eyes were on heaven. He knew whatever problems we have down here. He said, for the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that'll be. That's just how my dad was. He was just up all the time. And the question I have for you is, which one are you? Do you live well on the ground with your nose in the ground, or do you walk in the sky? We're Christians. Heaven is our home. The Bible is full of the promises that are ours. They're ours. Turn our captivity, Lord. That's what he says in verse 4. Oh, turn our captivity. Like streams in the south. Oh, the Negev refers to those dry stream beds in southern Israel. And when the water would come rushing down the mountains, it would overflow the banks and fill up the valley and water, and it would turn fertile. The Nile River did the same thing. It would overflow its banks and it would make all the land fertile and green and lush. And it's time for you and I. Oh, we sing that song, mercy drops are falling, but God, it's the showers we plead for. It's time for God to turn on the rain in your life and drop the rain. Verse number 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Some of our Christian brothers walk a hard, hard road. They do. They walk a hard road. Many of them serve in obscurity. That's why I read, during prayer time, I'll read the names of the old Baptists who gave us our heritage and our freedom. It was the Baptist preachers in America that stood up and said, no, we will have no state religion. Right. Did you know that? You go to the crypt. You go to the crypt underneath the Capitol building, and you'll see these guys who have on these statues with men. There's a dozen of them with men who have on like robes that look like a judge. But when they pull back the robe, it's a continental uniform. Those were the Black Robe Baptist Preacher Regiment. Those Baptist preachers fought in the war, and they preached the gospel. And when Jefferson said, you can have a straight your own religion, the state religion, they said no. No. Because it's counter to the Bible. You know, you and I who are saved, we can decide whether we walk on the ground or whether we live in the sky. It's you and I who decide, because God is limitless. What is it that you're pining away for? What is it you want God to do? What is it you want him to have? And you say, well, I want him to heal me. You know, one of the ways God heals us is through medicine. One of the ways God heals us is by giving us grace to endure. That's what Paul did. Paul got daily grace Man couldn't even get off the ground without help after they'd beaten him so many times. The historians say they had to like lather him up with some tallow or grease because his back would dry out and he couldn't move. And sometimes God heals. Well, every time God heals by death. The ultimate healing is to be ushered from this world of woe directly into the presence of God where there is no death or crying or sorrow or any of that. Young and new. Young and alive. You think, well, that's not healing. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. We'll all get that when it's his time for us to. So let me ask you a question. How's your praise? How's your praise? I realize you may be toiling right now, they that sow in tears. We use this as a soul-winning verse, and that's true, and it applies. But maybe today you're walking a hard road. Marriage didn't go the way you thought it would. Your kids didn't turn out the way you thought it would. Your career didn't turn out the way you thought it would. And right now you're sowing in tears. I want you to know you'll reap in joy. God is not done with you yet. But I will admit, sometimes God has had to take me kicking and screaming away from the things I wanted so he could show me what he had in store for me. James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It is true. We who sow in tears, sometimes we do sow tears. But you look at that next phrase. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Yes, it's true that we use these verses for soul winning. And it's true, you will go out and you should have compassion on the lost and you should pray for them every day and even shed tears because they're going to spend eternity in hell. But maybe today you're on the end of a you're in the end of a life experience that quite honestly has been a walk of tears. I want you to know, you will come rejoicing. The things you go through is not for no reason. He shall go forth and weepeth. Yes, it's been hard, but you will come. If what? If you're bearing that precious seed, if you recognize that God's word is true, it's not been for naught. He's going to turn your captivity. There is still a joy awaiting you, even in his service here. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. There's so much more I could say, but I feel the Lord is finished. I want you to know that you are not serving in obscurity when you serve the Lord here. In Kingstown, every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to realize that every tear you shed in this walk of tears we call life, I want you to understand of all the things God may collect, he collects your tears, he collects your prayers. These are the things the book of the Revelation tells us that God has kept as something precious to him. And maybe today your life has been one series of tearful events after another. You will come a day when you will be rejoicing. As you've sown in faithfulness, God will reap in glory. Father, today I pray, if there's one watching right now online that doesn't know you as their Savior and their life has been a consistent stream of tears and disappointment, Father, help them to understand, confirm in their heart, it's not been for nothing that you've taken notice. And now, Father, you'd save their soul as they realize they need a Savior. And Father, for us, your children, God, the miracle has happened of salvation. It's happened to us, and we rejoice. Father, never let us forget to go without praising you. Stir us, O God, as we see others who live in dumb anguish because of their sin and their stubbornness to deny salvation. God, let us be mindful to give you praise accordingly and to pray for them especially. And tonight, God, whatever the burden is, you would stir us. And God, if there is sin in our life, you would point it out that we might confess it and be right with you. And Father, as we travel this week, I pray, God, for a time of revival. Please, please, a time of rejoicing in Jesus' name. Amen. Won't you use this opportunity and pray tonight as the music plays? Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Our Father and our God, as we travel this week, God, keep us safe. And Father, we ask for revival. We ask, God, that you would do a work in us that cannot be imagined. You are the miracle-working God. And Father, as you do the work in us, may the world around us see you and not us. May they desire you. And Father, we'll praise you, for you are worthy. Thank you for what you're going to do this week. Thank you, Father, for the reviving you will do in our hearts over the next 3 days. May it spark a revival here in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Next Wednesday night.